Good morning, it's Casey and Jason here today.
Hey everyone.
And today we've got some fun things to talk about that's kind of going into the season here with the gardening and what we're kind of up to. And this is the time of year where there's a lot of things to harvest, to eat, to can, to freeze, just anything you can do with it. That's kind of what we're doing with it now. So there's a lot of additional work and things to do. So the schedules are really revving up and starting to feel a little bit nerve-wracking.
For some reason, I always have this thought in my head that, you know, fall harvest, you know? So basically, once fall time comes, that's when you harvest everything. But that's not really the case. There's certain things that could really be harvested and were harvested by you back in the beginning of July.
Yeah.
Not vegetables, but
vegetables too.
Peas. You had peas that. It's not just fall. It's depending on what you plant. You know, you're harvesting in July, and depending on where you live, maybe even sooner than
that.
Oh
yeah. So if you're not living in Wisconsin like we are, I mean, a lot of people are harvesting all year round.
Yeah. True.
Or at least 9 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just think that would be really nice because then it's like you could kind of space out the things that you want to grow for harvest. But I know a lot of places, if they're harvesting 9 months out of the year, there's quite a few months that, you know, we have for cold, but they have for super hot. So it's really hard to grow a lot of things then as well. But for us right now, you know, I mean, we're harvesting pickles and peas still, beans, zucchini, and the list kind of just goes on, right?
Yes. Yep.
And all the medicinals and the herbs and so many things going on, but it's really an exciting time. It's one of those times where you kind of have to just like pause a minute and know that, yes, there is a lot to do, a lot to harvest, but in the winter, we're going to wish it was this time again.
Right. Yeah. It looks really cool out there this time of year. Everything is kind of in its prime right mm-hmm. now, I would say, as far as how full and lush everything looks and colorful. And there's still things to come into harvest, like tomatoes and things like that. But overall, just a look out there outside, everything just looks prime right now.
Yeah. So our tomatoes, we'd already have some, but we had some deer problems in our vegetable bed. And when they ate off the tips of the tomatoes, it was kind of like my pinching method, you know? It forced them to bush out, but now they're just starting to set some tomatoes. So they're a little behind, which is actually okay because we have so many other things to harvest and can and preserve. So it's going to work out just fine. And I always say everything usually happens for a reason. And then we're coming up on the corn season. So we not only grow our own food, but my dad grows so much for all of us. So we have, like, you know, enough for all of us to just can until our little heart's desire,
yeah.
Really. You know, like, you can and pick everything in your own garden. And if you want to do more, it's like my dad's like, well, here's three more acres.
A crate of pickles home yesterday, you know, because they canned everything that they were going to can as far as pickles go. So yeah, they've got, you know, pickles coming out of their ears.
Well, what's kind of crazy too is all the pickles that I've canned so far are from my dad. And we have like 10 plants out in the garden and they're all setting flowers right now. So it's like we're going to have a huge harvest ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, to where I'm like, but I'm just getting a head start because we do eat a lot of pickles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we tried some actually last night. Casey canned some, and they've probably been in their jar for about a week, and, it was so good. And these mm-hmm. were the, she had sliced them up, and it's, what did you use in your brine?
Well, I actually, you know, I don't usually do this, but I actually used a mix. So when I went to go buy more jars, I knew that when I did my first round of canning, I didn't have a lot of time because I'm also at home with the kids. And long story short, we had a lot to do that week, but my dad had just given me a crate of pickles. And I'm like, oh, man, because then you have to, like, harvest more garlic and dill and, you know, get your ingredients just right. And, you know, and I didn't have mustard seed on hand. And I'm like, darn it. So I got this mix and I forgot the brand of it, but I mixed it in there. It created its own brine and it was delicious.
Yes, it's really good. It's,
but
it's
I did add extra water to the brine that they told you how to, they tell you how to mix it and you mix it in. I don't like using pre-mixed things because it's like, yeah, the ingredients are on there and they looked clean, but you just never know what else to really
throw in. Right. There, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
But it was perfect for the first set to kind of get just a first set done, kind of feel a little bit of an accomplishment.
Right.
A little bit of a jump start into the canning season. Yeah. And then, so our next round will be fresh from the garden. So our brine includes, my homemade brine is vinegar and water. It's usually like a 1-to-2 ratio, but a little bit more than 2 on the water side. So it's 1 part vinegar, 2 parts water, but I do a little bit more than that of water. So probably like, I don't know, probably like, I would say like a cup of vinegar to 2.5-3 cups of water, only because I don't like them too tangy.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I like how you did it with these ones here, how you added a little more water.
Yeah, I like to taste the flavors in the pickle. So I like to taste the dill and the mustard and the garlic, and I don't like too much salt either. So I only do like, I would say like a teaspoon, if that, of salt in a quart jar. And then I just stuff in a few dill flowers and a few leaves. And then I mince up my garlic. Like I do at least 2 cloves or 1 or 2 cloves per quart jar. I don't follow a recipe. I just toss it. And it just turns out.
It works.
You know?
It works, yep.
And pickles are the easiest thing to can because we don't have to pressure cook those. We just put in the boiling brine right into the quart. And then we actually boil our lids in water in a saucepan for about four minutes, but you got to make sure when you put them in, the water is already boiling. So we let them sit in there for 4 minutes. We put the lids on top of the quart, screw it on as tight as you can, give it a couple days, and as long as that top isn't like bouncy and making that you know, like that little sound when you click it, like a clicking noise, then they're sealed.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Because when you boil them in there, it softens the rubber. And then when you tighten it on the top, it really sets into there.
I got it.
And then there's already the boiling brine inside, so it's really hot.
Yeah.
So everything's
hot. That makes sense then,
how
it forms the seal.
Because a lot of times when you pressure cook then with the pickles, they get super soft, even if you're putting something inside of there to keep them crunchy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. That's a good tip.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so on top of canning too, we've been harvesting a lot of our herbs. So the medicinal herbs for medicine, and then also the smelly herbs just for, I mean, all herbs have benefits, but I like harvesting for the smell of them as well. So we've been making bouquets and bundles and just harvesting so we can sell these on our website when we launch it, just, you know, individually too. So in that way you can make whatever you'd like to make with it, whether it's distilling it or making some candles with it or some bath teas or bundles, whatever your heart desires.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So I see on the, on our little talk list too, beans. So what if we tried to pickle some beans this year? Do you know?
Pickle? You mean can? Or are you talking about pickling?
Well,
yeah. Because I was canning them.
No, I know. But pickle, like adding in a brine like you would for pickles with maybe just like a couple jars of the beans.
If you wanted to do that. Because I'm going to do them regular for the kids. The kids,
You'll like it. If you like pickles, trust me, and you like green beans, you're going to like...
We'll see, I guess.
A pickled bean.
I'm not always the easiest to get to try new things.
I remember at a golf outing 1 year, somebody had pickled beans. Well, they were green beans, and I think they were pickled, but then they were also like soaked in vodka or something.
Wait, I was gonna be kidding. Yeah,
no, they were, but it was actually, it was good. I don't know, I like those kind of, like, I'm the type of guy that would eat a pickled egg or one of those pickled pig's foot that you see at the, you know.
I think I'm gonna vomit. Why'd you have to add
I guess
foot?
I just like pickled anything.
Here, kids, have some vodka pickled beans.
Well, no vodka in there, but...
Gross, no. That I don't like... I actually really don't like alcohol, like the flavor of it much. But I couldn't imagine, like, my food being soaked in it. That's gross. That's gross. So if you want to make those, you can, but I always try to, you know, make more of what the kids like because they are the hardest customer.
Yeah.
And I know
we'll,
that you'd
we'll take
like,
one jar and just... put the brine in there and then
you can research and Google your brine.
Yeah, well, I would just use the same one as the pickles.
Oh, well, that's...
Yeah, because it's going to have a similar flavor to the pickle, but it's just, you know, green bean instead, so.
Yeah, so our beans are ready, and I went out there 2 days ago because I wanted to pick some, but they needed, like, two more days. Like, they needed just that two more days just to get a little bit longer, and... The kids were out there with me, and we were picking kind of like the last amount of peas for this batch, you know? And when we were out there, like, I picked everything. They were just picking and eating. I'm like, come on. Like, you know, like, they help all the time.
Stockpile some.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys can eat these, like, after. Like, let's fill up the bowl here. So they're more of, like, I don't really get the help in that way. Like, I don't blame them, you know. I mean, when I was little, I didn't want to pick stuff either. I just wanted to eat it, you know.
Yeah, yep.
We used to go out to the field. I grew up on a farm, in case some of you didn't know that about me. And we had our farm grew into all different types of farms. We had everything you could imagine, and we sold our products and had a vegetable farm and animal farm, and we would go out to the field, and we would go out to the field with a salt shaker, and it would be like during the pickle season. So when we would be like, when we would be harvesting and picking all the pickles, we would pick bushels. I always remember I had like the half bushels, the little ones, because that's all I could carry as a little child. You know, like I was working out there at like 3-4 years old, and that was our lunch. That was our food. You know, like we just carried a salt shaker with us and went and. I don't need salt on them now.
Right, yeah.
But if you ever shake like a little salt down a pickle when you're eating it, oh my goodness. It's so good.
Try that just to try it.
Yes. It is so, so good. Even though it's so much healthier for you without that, but it was really good. But yeah, so our next thing is beans. We'll be moving on to beans now. And I'll share some of that, you know, on our channel, on our YouTube channel. Pretty soon, kind of share our process. And I think pickles is one of the easiest ones to show because it doesn't require you to like pressure cook it. So that way it's like, you know, one less process to film and stuff too. And I want to also can my homemade vegetable soup. And that's actually a recipe I would love to share because it's literally just water and a ton of vegetables, salt, garlic, and... that's it.
Yeah, and it feels so good. I mean, when you're eating that, it's just like no guilt whatsoever. And it's delicious too cuz everything is fresh and
And the kids love it. The kids love it cuz but we let it marinate for hours, you know? So it's like so marinated in like the flavors of the vegetables and everything's just so like soft and it just like that it's almost more like a fall soup, but it's just so good any time of year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we just put out a video of harvesting our feverfew, which is a medicinal herb. And it was one of the medicinal herbs I was like the most excited to grow this year because it's said to help with migraines. A lot of studies show that it does, but for some people it doesn't. And I have two family members that really suffer from migraines and they've done everything and tried everything and, you know, right down to even like changing diets and, you know, like none of that stuff ever helps. Even prescription, different types of things, but they've never tried feverfew. And, you know, when you're like buying supplements or trying out like natural things, it's really hard to trust that when you're buying a certain natural supplement, that that's what you're actually getting, whether it's in tea form or a capsule or anything like that. So with Feverfew, you really want to, most likely we'll have to do some type of figure out how to get it into like a capsule. We can also put it in tea, but it supposedly has a pretty bitter flavor. So it's not something that's like, you know, gonna taste amazing on the palate, you
sure.
know?
Sure.
But if you know that it's going to give you these benefits,
yeah,
then
I think you can manage the taste. Yeah.
But they also say, and these are things that I've like read and learned because I haven't myself personally tried it yet. Well, I tried a little bit of a leaf and it was a little bitter. But they say a lot of people who struggle with migraines, they eat a few leaves a day right in the morning. And then after they eat them, then that kind of like stops them from even getting the migraines. But it takes a while. Like you have to consistently get like a buildup.
Okay. So it builds up in your system then. And
that's kind of how it is a lot of times with natural. You know, like it's not like something like, you know, you take an Advil and it's like, oh, I'm better, you know. Like my sister, she's one of them with migraines and she can't even really take Advil because it hurt her liver because she's been taking that for so
and it
years.
Doesn't really work. I know like my mom. Yeah. As well, she gets them, and nothing actually works when you take something for it. It's just kind of time is the only thing that. We should get them both on it. Try a little.
I just harvested it, so we can't get
little,
them on it.
A little trial with. but you could, like you said, with the leaves, right? I mean, essentially, they could just eat the leaves.
You can eat the leaves. You can also just like let them steep in hot water and then drink that's tea. And you can do that with fresh leaves or partially dry or dry. You just don't want to package it until it's like dry, you know, like once it's dry, then you package it in like a sealed jar or bag or however it makes you feel better to store your dried herbs. But that's something that I also want to be able to sell, and I wouldn't be selling it in capsule form. I don't want to like sell anything that's like ready to go into someone's body. I don't want to be like responsible.
Yeah, no, I think there's ramifications things that we would have to, you know.
But I think providing the dry version of it and allowing people to do what they want with it after they've done their own research.
And how amazing would that be? I mean, if it truly does work and alleviate that. Mm-hmm. I mean, both your sister and my mom have, it's like a lifelong issue. Mm-hmm. You know, like they don't know any other way other than they get these migraines multiple times a week.
Yeah.
You know, for just forever. So that'd be really cool.
Yeah. So when I was harvesting the Feverfew too, my fingers felt almost a slight bit like oily and like really soft and smooth.
Huh.
And you know, what's funny is I've been researching Feverfew for a while, so that really made sense when I felt that, because they said that Feverfew can also be used for acne and rosacea. So it can be used in some form of like a cream.
Oh, okay.
Or ointment for the face, the skin, you know, because it felt really like hydrating and moisturizing. Like it was really smooth feeling.
That's pretty
cool.
Like
it made my hands feel soft.
Huh.
So I thought that was really cool because I'm like, that makes me kind of, you know, like in the winter we get really dry.
Oh, yeah.
And that would just be kind of fun to tinker with something like that for ourselves.
It definitely would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep, so that's kind of what we have going on this week, just a lot of harvesting, and we actually got rain, so I got one day free from not having to water.
Well, we'll see. I don't know how much we got. We'll have to check the rain
gauge.
No,
the other day. The other day. Last night's wasn't enough. Like, it's enough for the raised beds, but for containers, like when it rains, don't assume your containers are like good to go for that day and then leave for work and you know it's going to be like a hot day. Like a lot of times when it rains, it doesn't like go through the foliage of a container into the soil of the container.
Right. And a lot of times too, your containers are in areas that might be close to the house. So you've got an overhang over them, and window boxes are like that too.
Yeah.
You know, your window boxes have a roof overhang over them.
Well,
And depending on which way the rain's coming, the window box is up against the wall.
Right.
So if the rain's driving from the west and your window box is on an east wall, it probably didn't get much.
Yeah, so like even though we had rain, like none of my front window boxes got it because my front window boxes face east and they're on the east side of the house and the rain was coming out of the northwest. So the front window boxes yesterday, I went out there, I almost had a heart attack because they were really wilted.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
they looked good at the end of the day, though.
They did.
Because I was out there, I actually met, we had somebody come up from Tennessee. They didn't come up just for us, but...
Yes, they did. No.
her name is Deborah Buckow, and I know her mom and her actually know your family from way back when.
When we had the farm?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she came up to get, she was visiting family, but her mom wanted eucalyptus. And we have eucalyptus that Casey seeded and that we, right now we're just selling it on Marketplace where people can pick it up. But that'll also be something on the website that we'll be selling when it's smaller cell form.
Smaller for shipping.
Right.
And, you know, like I've discussed this already in the podcast and through videos. It's been a trial year, but also a learning year to where things will be easier and things will be figured out by, you know, when we launch the store and stuff. And, you know, and that's what it really is about when you start something new is you're really just like trying things out, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't. And everything's just a process. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are always so quick to jump on things and so quick to like, want things to just be as they imagine it, even though it's something that could take years and we're always just wanting instant.
Yeah. And the reason I brought up her name is because she had this, she asked if we could, and props to her. She's a super huge fan. I wanted to give her a shout out and she had lots of nice things to say.
Oh, it's really nice. I was inside making a video. Yeah. I should have come out,
It was a nice visit. But she asked, so she lives in Tennessee, and she said that a lot of people, maybe neighbors or people that she knows there, and you may not know the answer to this, it's just kind of a question I'll throw out there, which is kind of interesting. She asked about compost, and a lot of people that are planting up veggies or gardens are not seeing the production or what they should be when they're planting up, and so they're thinking that it's the compost and the chemicals that are possibly in that compost if it's from land that has been sprayed for weeds or
are they bringing soil in? They're bringing compost in?
Say somebody calls a company and gets an order of compost and they dump it in the driveway.
That's happening everywhere.
Right. Okay, so the question is, let's just assume that compost is maybe somewhat contaminated.
A lot of it is now.
Yeah, so is there any way to amend that compost?
Yes, there is. And I'm going to actually refer someone that I watch a lot because she's actually documenting her whole process. And you may already follow or subscribe to her YouTube channel. But Jesse from Roots and Refuge, they just did a big, because they just moved to a brand new property. They're homesteaders and they're self-sufficient with sustainability in their gardening and all of that. And they're creating their entire property all over from scratch. And they added this tunnel house and they brought in fresh organic soil and compost. And here to find out it was
contaminated. Oh, wow. So how did they find out it was contaminated?
Because a lot of their stuff died. Things weren't growing. Oh. So then they had soil tests taken. And now she's on this journey of amending that soil and fixing that soil. And she's sharing it along the way. It's not going to be like in one video she shares it.
Right.
Like it's going to be a process. It's going to take a while to...
Where is her farm again? Isn't it in that area, Tennessee, North Carolina?
I think so, yeah.
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 Okay. Well, I'll definitely... I don't know if Deborah listens to this or not, but I'll definitely reach out.
And she's got like a huge following and stuff because she's been on there for a while too. But they put out videos like every day, and they're also on Wilder TV, which is like a streaming service for like homesteaders and learning how to homestead. And it's a lot of homestead channels all in one package. And then like you can like subscribe to it and... it's just really neat. It's nice just to like you know, like, we're all subscribing to something. We have a subscription to watch things everywhere, but at least, you know, like, when you're subscribing to like, that type of stuff, like, you know, it's going to be, like, clean and good for the whole family. It's going to be educational. It's going to be entertaining. And it's going to carry, like, really great values along with it. And there's not going to be anything, like, you know, popping up in there where you're like, kids, close your eyes. You know, cover your ears.
Yeah, true, true.
You know,
that's,
like,
that's relieving.
It happens with everything, even in cartoons these days. It's sickening.
It's
so
a shame.
It is. It is. So, you know, it's just always nice to, like, have outlets like that. And I think it's great that they started, not Roots and Refuge, but forgot what his name is. He started Wilder TV.
Oh, Justin.
Yeah, Justin Rhodes.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. So Roots and Refuge has, like, a little docu-series of their entire move from one plot to a new plot, a large plot. And it's really cool to watch. And they're just kind of building their garden now, too. So that was called Roots and Refuge. And I really enjoy it. She really just talks in front of the camera most of the time. But, like, I just find myself, like, watching and listening.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, and I like, cause like on her new farm too, she's doing everything like black. It kind of reminds me of like ours, like her whole potager garden is starting to look kind of like ours, but that's probably why I'm drawn to it too. And it's really nice. So it's kind of fun just to watch something being built from the ground up, just kind of like, you know, how we share our garden projects and building our property and things like that. But this is more of like that homesteading level that I really, really love. That's, you know, obviously that's what we do, but we don't always share ours in that way, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. Yep. So, I think that's good for
today. Yeah. I think that's a good topics in there.
It is. It is. And I still, I want to go out and check for watering and get the little bunnies fed. They were hopping around today, like, you know, looking so cute.
Yeah.
Their little fur was blowing in the wind. And, you know, pumpkin.
Yeah, they're great.
Little pumpkin, so cute. He's so fluffy. He's so poofy and he's orange. That's why we call him Pumpkin. And it's breezy today. So that's why we can't be in the garden doing this podcast. And when I was out there, his little hair was just blowing in the wind. He's like so cute. Aww, I just want to go cuddle him now. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening today, you guys. And we will talk with you again soon.
Have a great day.